All right, guys, good morning. How we feeling, guys? How we feeling? Tired? Waking up? All right. Well, turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 2.
I love Luke.
We're going to start there this morning, Luke chapter 2. It's been an awesome time. Last night was great. Matt did an awesome job with the lesson. It's been a bonding time, has it not? It's been a really good time, and I know some of you guys were up talking till the wee hours, and I know we're kind of tired this morning, but just give me some time, and I think that this will help us and help all of us to stay united going into the fall.
Come on.
But before we jump in, let's pray. Let's set our hearts here. Father God, good morning, God.
Good morning.
It's great to be alive. It's great to be with each other, and you know, watching that movie last night, God, just seeing these guys literally lay down their lives for one another and literally sacrificing their lives for the sake of their brothers and their devotion, God. And you know, when people do something like that, God, it definitely shows that they have something worth dying for. Mm-hmm. They have something that's on their hearts, something that they believe in, that they believe is worth dying for, God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you looked at us and you saw that we were worth dying for.
Yeah.
Even though we were going to hurt you, we were going to live lives of sin.
Yeah.
That you decided to die for us, God. And this morning, as we focus on the good news of great joy and what you've done, God, help us just to really get tuned into your spirit. Mm-hmm. Help us to listen to your Holy Spirit this morning. Bless mm-hmm. you. And help us to really get focused on what are the things that Satan is right now scheming with the whole other group, trying to get us to not be effective this semester.
Come on. Yeah.
And help us to take some time to really get serious and think about what are the things that the enemy wants to use to stop us this semester, God. And I pray that you be with our time this morning. Let your words come out of my mouth, God. I pray that every brother here will leave here with greater conviction and greater inspiration and a greater plan of attack for the coming semester. God, we love you. Mm-hmm. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning we're going to be continuing through the book of Luke together. And we're going to be looking at one of the most important moments in all of history. And this moment changed you, it's changed me, it's changed the world as we know it. The title of my lesson today is From Great Fear to Great Joy. All right, from great fear to great joy. Let me ask you guys a question. I want your help on this. Mm-hmm. What is some of the best news that you've ever received? What's some of the best news you've ever received? So I want to hear what the news is and how it made you feel when you received that news. Daryl.
I tried to get into Mason Girls School of the Arts as an incoming freshman and didn't. But then I had a battle plan where I went back. I went to Rutgers. I took art classes. And then back in the day, they didn't have email. They have campus mailboxes. And you had a little thing. You went to campus mailbox.
Way back.
When I got the acceptance letter that I got into Mason Girls.
Oh, come on.
That was like yesterday. I'm transported there.
Yeah.
Yes!
Mm.
Yeah. So that was great.
And did you go around telling people about that when that happened?
My parents.
Yeah. Is that something that you're excited to share about? I mean, that's crazy. All right, what else? What's some of the best news you've ever received? Kyrie.
When I heard that my mom was going to meet Jesus, Lord of her life.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That made me, like, I think that made me feel finally, like, okay, she knows I'm not part of a cult, but that the decision I made was because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And now he's doing that for her life. And so
that
definitely made me want to tell people. Mm. And it's in my conversations, too, when I study the Bible with people and stuff.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's get some more. Best news you've ever received. Just awesome. Made you fired up.
When Brielle said yes.
Yeah.
When Brielle said yes.
That was great news.
No, Matt, it was for him.
Oh.
Brielle was fired up. No, that was for Matt.
The pictures were awesome.
Yeah. No, come on.
That was great.
Anyone else?
I think at my groom's honoring, the bachelor party I had, when my dad, you know, stood up and said that, you know, his biggest regret wasn't coming to my baptism.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
And he was just crying, and I was feeling like, man, what the heck? Mm. God, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. Wow. Elijah.
So my grandmother my mom's mom, has a heart defect where she has strokes every now and then. And while I was a counselor at Breeding Camp, my grandmother had a stroke because she was off her medication. And that's all I knew about it. And then I found out on the phone. And like, I was really sad. And then I was kind of happy because then I found out that she's fine and that she's not, she didn't die, but that she's alive.
Amen. Yeah, that is great news, man. Bless you. All right. You all right there, Josh?
Yeah.
All right. Jordan, last one. Jordan.
One year, my sister came home from teen camp, and she was like, I want to study the Bible.
Wow.
And I was like so shocked and surprised because before,
she was soft.
When I told her I was going to get baptized, she cursed at me, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so then after that, I started filling the bathtub. I'm like, we can do this now, right?
Amen. No, that is awesome. Appreciate everything you guys shared. And I know we all have something where something's happened in your life where someone's brought some encouraging news to you. And there's just something about experiencing something for the first time.
Sure.
Or hearing something for the first time. Or experiencing something that you've never experienced before. We're about to watch a quick video here of people hearing for the first time. Yeah. And people seeing color,
I love this.
Every color for the first time. And as you watch this, just think about how this must have affected their lives and how they experience life. So we're going to check this out.
How does it sound now?
Good.
Does it sound even better? Can you hear my voice now? Yeah. What about mom's voice?
Can you hear my voice? So now technically your device is on. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Okay.
And, man, as you watch these videos, you know, I was watching this just by myself a couple days ago. And I'm not one to cry a lot, but I just started breaking down watching all these. There's like tons more that I watched, some more emotional than this. And I couldn't help but to be moved. Like, it's right. Such a authenticity of just, they're genuinely just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And imagine just hearing your mom's voice for the first time. You know, seeing what a mountain and a forest looks like. For the first time, seeing like vibrant green and experiencing these things, it's these life-changing moments. And imagine being the first person to lay your eyes on the Savior, to lay your eyes on Jesus, knowing that this baby is gonna save the world. And imagine being the first person to hear from angels that the Savior is here now.
Wow.
And you can go see him, and you can go listen to him, and learn from him. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 2 here about when Jesus was born, when Jesus came. Matt talks about John the Baptist preparing the way this morning. We're going to look at the birth of Jesus.
All right?
And so in Luke chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse 4. And as we're reading here, guys, I want you guys to put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds. Like, the best you can. Put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds as they receive this news here. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And we'll stop there. What an amazing moment. I mean, imagine just being these shepherds. You're watching over your flock. This angel comes to you. And you see the glory of the Lord all around you. I don't know what that would have looked like. All I know is I would have been terrified too.
Sure.
Maybe even more terrified than those men were in that movie last night. There's something about the power of God. People just drop dead in its presence, right? And so, you know, you think about being this shepherd here and the angel, his voice, the first thing he says to them, "Don't be afraid." And he says, "I bring you good news of great joy," right?
Yeah.
And then after he shares this good news, it says suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. So now you're just surrounded by these people just praising God, like heaven's coming down. He's here. He's here. He's finally here. And all you can do is wonder, why is this such a big deal? What's going on right now? But what I would have been thinking of is, this isn't something they're celebrating that's distant in heaven. This is something that I could go lay my eyes on right now.
Right, right.
That I can go, what they're rejoicing about, what this angel came to bring, it's sitting right in that manger, and I can go walk to it right now. I can go experience the same thing that they're praising God about.
Yeah.
And, you know, this moment just blows my mind. And I think that what's crazy here is that it wasn't some distant thing, but that it really was, whoa, this is for us. Like, these angels came for us so we could experience Jesus, so we could have the same joy, so we could celebrate just as much. And the angel says, this is good news of great joy for all people, for everyone here. And, you know, this is the first thing said after Jesus' birth, that Jesus is good news of great joy. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Just like these shepherds, they went from great fear in this moment to great joy.
Amen.
And so this morning, we're going to be talking about how can we go from these fears that we have to having great joy like these shepherds, and to not be so afraid. But the first thing that the angel says is, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. You know, the phrase do not be afraid is in the Bible 365 times.
Wow.
One for every day of the year. And what's crazy is that earlier in Luke 1:13, John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, you know what said to him also? The first thing said, do not be afraid. So there's something about when you get this message from the Lord about how he's going to use you, about the importance of your life, an angel coming to you, the first thing they try to help you with is, dude, just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We're good here. I'm not coming to kill you. It's going to be all right. But I think God wants to make something very clear to us, guys. And that is that when God is with you, you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
When God is with you, you have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that in a bit. But actually, in this passage, what they're afraid about is the glory of God shown around them.
Mm-hmm.
What their fear is, it's not some fear of sin or fear of failure. Their fear is of the power of God that they're seeing now. But if we're being honest, I think our fears are a little different, right? We have fears that are a little different than maybe what Zechariah and here these shepherds are experiencing. You know, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What is something that this fall you are afraid of going into the fall semester? Are you afraid of getting hurt by people? Are you afraid of getting tired and getting exhausted?
Wow.
Are you afraid of not seeing men become Christians? Are you afraid of not doing well in school? Are you afraid that you won't be able to overcome that chronic sin? Are you afraid of not growing spiritually? Are you afraid of letting God down or people down?
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid for settling for something less than what God desires for you?
Come on, dude.
What are you fearing right now? Think about that. And a better way to ask this question might be, what are you running away from and not addressing head on with Jesus? What things are you running away from and not tackling? And I'll be vulnerable, guys. I have my fears that I've had to wrestle with about this semester. You know, this has been a big time of transition for me. Two of my best friends moved out, right? They're doing ministry in different places, Sam and Charles. I'm going to be living back at home. I haven't lived at home with my family since 2015. I'm not used to living at home. And I'm commuting 40 minutes to Willie P, taking 6 classes, the hardest 2 classes I've ever taken. I want to help a lot of men become Christians. I'm the president of a club, and we're trying to really do some big things there on campus. And then besides that, I'm just trying to get mark time and enjoy my life, you know? And so I can feel overwhelmed. And then the idea of transitioning and doing ministry in the city come just January, it's like, there is so much happening in my life right now, and it's crazy for me not to bring it all to God.
Yeah.
It's crazy for me to try to handle this semester on my own and not let God eradicate my fears. But what are you fearing? What are you fearing? I can fear for me, honestly, guys, with all the stuff going on, that I'll just start relying on myself.
Right.
I'll just start relying on Mark, that I'll kind of push God to the wayside. You know, I actually had a moment a couple days ago where I almost like came to the acceptance of, this semester is going to be really hard and I'm not going to have fun. I really did. I almost came to the acceptance like, this is going to be super hard. And, well, we'll wait till 2019 to have some fun again, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the dumbest thing you've ever said. Like, right. I'm reading this scripture, great news of great joy. And I'm like, okay, you need to change your thinking there, Mark. But what are you afraid of? You know, God keeps telling me, don't be afraid. That's what God keeps telling me. What is He telling you? What is God telling you about this semester in your quiet times? And in your conversations, because I think if he's got 365 times where he says do not be afraid, one for every day or every year, we really got to hear that, guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid. He's saying, Daniel, don't be afraid. He's saying, Tommy, don't be afraid, man. Freshman year, don't be afraid. He's saying, JD. Closing out senior year, don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid about. You're saying Joseph, young gun, nothing to be afraid of.
That's right.
Nothing to be afraid of. And the question is, why don't we have to fear? It's because of what he says in verse 10. If you look back there,
what's he saying?
He says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I bring you good news. You shouldn't be afraid because you know the Savior. You know Jesus. You're His brother. You're His friend. You're on His team. The same team as Jesus, the creator of the universe. He's living in you. He's with you. You're on the same team. You're not fighting against each other. You're with one another.
Right.
You're not trying to get God on your side. He is on your side. He's been on your side the moment you got out of that water. But most importantly, the reason why we shouldn't be afraid is because the news that this angel says is good news. It's news that we've received, that we have, that we know better than they did in this moment, that we've experienced, that we've lived out. And it's this news the angel is talking about, this good news, aka the gospel, of that, man, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were masturbating and being selfish and disrespectful to your parents and lazy, Jesus said, I'm dying for that man.
Mm. Wow.
And you said, why? And he said, because I stinking love you.
Yep.
And I want to be with you. And you said, but even after I get baptized, I'm going to mess up more. He's like, that's not the point. I love you.
Right.
First John says, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
The good news that despite your weaknesses, but despite who you are, that God is saying, I love you, I made you, and I want to be with you, and I'll lay down my life for you because I love you. Right. And the only contribution you've made to that plan of God bringing you back to Him is what? That we've sinned.
Right.
That's all you've done. And God said, I know. I knew they were going to sin, but I love them, and I want to use them to change the world. It's a gift, guys. Our Christianity is a gift. This is the good news, right? We've heard it. We've experienced it in our own lives. And if we really boil it down here, fellas, the only thing that can help you overcome your fears and sin this semester is the gospel.
Amen.
Is the good news. Nothing else can help you overcome these fears. Jesus will help you overcome and bear fruit. The gospel will help you overcome. You know, 1 John 4:18, you don't have to turn there, but it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love, right? So what this passage is saying is if you have fear, then you don't really know God or the gospel, because God is love. And this scripture is saying that perfect love drives out fear. God drives out fear.
That's right.
The more you know God, the more you know how loved you are, the less fearful you're going to be. The more you know Jesus, the more you know the gospel, the less fearful you're going to be. And fear, according to the Bible, will be driven out. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that? I think we have a hard time believing that your fears can be eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
That God says, no, I want to drive out those fears. Because now you don't have to fear punishment.
Great, Mark.
You're holy. You're sanctified, right? And a question that I think we need to ask ourselves is, what does God have in store for us this semester?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As God is up there right now and he's in this room, what does God have in store for us this semester? If you could put yourself in the shoes of God for a moment, what would you think he'd say to you of what he wants to see happen in your life? You know, if you could just put yourself in the shoes of God, what's that thing he'd be like, you think he might mention about what he wants to see happen in your life? I want you to kind of think about that for a second. Think about what that might be that God wants to do in your life. And I'm just here to tell you guys that that thing that you just thought about, there's no reason why you can't have a victory in that. There's no reason why that thing can't happen in your life. Why you can't overcome that thing.
Right.
And wow. Reason being is because you have the gospel.
That's right.
Because you have everything you stinking need. Colossians 1:6 says, the gospel has come to you all over the world. This gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. So what's so amazing is that your growth isn't dependent on who you are or your personality or your strengths and weaknesses. No, your growth is entirely dependent on how well you know the gospel. You guys realize that? Your growth has nothing to do with who you are, your past, what's going on in your life right now, what your strengths and weaknesses are. Your growth is fully dependent on how well you know the gospel.
Yeah.
That is it. The better, and I'll just be honest, the more I get to know the good news, the more I want to change.
Right.
It's that simple. The more you get to know the good news, the more you're going to want to change. And I think we really need to take hold of this and own this. Is that, guys, this is our news.
Right.
This is our news to share. This is our news to own, to read about, to get to know. But I'll tell you one thing. We need each other to point each other back to this good news. We need each other. And as I'm coming in for a landing here, right now, I guarantee you that some of you in this room this semester will contemplate leaving God.
Wow.
And in a brotherhood of this size, some guys aren't even here, I guarantee you that there will be some of us this semester that will think about, is this really worth it?
Yeah.
Especially once you get on campus again. Hmm. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Look around in this room. These are the people you need to be closest to. It's this brotherhood right here.
Come on.
Right? Even as I was writing this lesson, I don't even know how to explain it, but I felt opposition from the enemy as I wrote this lesson. Like, he didn't want me to write it. Like, he didn't want us to have this time together.
Come on.
Right.
And I literally, like, yelled in our apartment. I was there alone trying to work on this lesson. And I felt like everything was going against me. I couldn't think of any ideas. I was racking my brain. I was reading the scripture. But I thought about it. I was like, Satan just doesn't want us to be unified for the gospel.
That's right.
Satan knows we got the power.
Right.
Satan knows we got the message that people need. Satan knows that we need each other. And so, guys, we need each other to point each other back to why we do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why are we here, this bro over? Why are we part of this campus ministry? Why are we about to go share with 9,000 people? Because we have a gospel worth sharing.
Because
we have good news that everyone needs to hear. And if you don't really believe that, you are not going to make it this semester. And you're not going to help people become Christians. But when you really know the gospel, when you're experiencing this good news of great joy, when you're letting God take you from fear to joy, and you're convinced, you know what? You're going to look convinced on your campus. Yeah. People will look at you and be like, that guy, Caleb, is convinced about something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's convinced that something's better than the way I'm living my life. And then people, they'll be convinced by you in the scriptures, and you'll convince other people. But the first part is you got to be convinced that this is the news everyone needs to hear.
Yeah.
And some signs that you're not convinced, number one is that you're just not joyful. And you're not excited about Jesus. Are you excited about Jesus?
Come on.
No one ever had to tell Paul, hey, Paul, you share your faith today? Why? Because Paul was excited about Jesus. He was excited to go tell people good news. The same news he was sharing, the same news you read about in your Bible. Right? And so, guys, we have everything we need to overcome these fears. It's the gospel. But I want to ask you, are you close to brothers in this room? Or do you have brothers that know you well enough to point you back to Jesus and the gospel? Do you have men in your life that you've given the green light just to say, dude, when you see me getting off course,
come on.
When you see me not focused on the good news, getting to know it myself and paying it forward, you got to help me. You got to help me when I get off track.
Right. Help me.
And I just know that I have brothers that are going to help me stay focused. Mm-hmm. And that gives me peace going into the semester. But guys, we got to help each other stay focused on the gospel.
Yeah.
On the why. Because the moment we remove the gospel, these friendships won't make sense. Yeah. You'll start saying things like, well, I don't really feel close to the guys. You know, and you'll start saying things like, well, I don't really want to go share with hundreds of people. You know, but it's because they're losing the why.
Right.
We wouldn't be here if there was no good news. Right?
Come on.
We wouldn't be here if there was no gospel. We certainly wouldn't be going on 80 people in our ministry if there wasn't a good news to share. Yeah. You're all here because someone, either you or your family, was reached out to. No right. one's here without the gospel. No one's here without paying that gospel forward, right?
That's right.
But are you going to do that for someone else this fall? Are you going to do that for someone else? There's no reason why you can't, right? And lastly, you know, we watched that video in the beginning. And kind of think about it this way. It's kind of like when we study the Bible with people, just like those people saw color for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they heard for the first time, right? They heard sound in the voices of loved ones. When we're studying the Bible with people, oh my goodness, it's such a gift. It's like you're putting on these gospel headphones.
Come on, baby.
And as you put on these gospel headphones, you just see people's faces change.
Mm.
And you see them like contemplating their life. And you see That's them, right. their actions start to change. And then as you study with them and you befriend them and you love them like Jesus would, they see the world differently.
Mm.
They put on those glasses.
Great point.
And they just see life for the reality that it is. It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I just am so grateful that I get to be a part of that
yes.
in someone's life.
Yeah.
You know, I remember doing the cross study with Calvin and, man, we put on those glasses of grace in the cross. That dude left that room that day changed forever.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Changed forever. He left University Hall just saying, this is crazy. This is crazy. And he couldn't stop saying that.
Yeah.
But I just want you guys to experience that with someone this semester. It's just at the bottom of my heart. I just want you guys to experience putting on those headphones, putting on those glasses for somebody and helping them see Jesus and see the world differently. But we got to fight to do that. And we need brothers in our lives to help us stay focused on doing that. And so let's remember, guys, that when we know the gospel, your fears can be eradicated, right? But what are you fearing? What are you fearing this semester? You got to pinpoint those things. If you don't,
come on, bro.
Satan already knows it.
He does.
And if you don't have a plan of attack, he's going to go after you. And so what are you fearing? How well do you know the good news? Right? How well do you know Jesus? And how is that helping you overcome these fears and driving them out so that you can pay the good news forward? And honestly, so you guys can have a joyful semester.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I mean, I know for a fact that God wants us all to have a joyful, rocking semester.
Oh, man.
This is good news and great joy. I'm ready to have fun. I'm ready to have a stinking blast with you guys. I'm ready to see a bunch of new brothers in this group. I'm ready to see a bunch of new sisters come into campus. I'm ready to see lives change. But I'm just ready to have a good old time.
Yeah.
This is my last semester. I'm going to lay it all out on the field. And I'm just asking you guys to join with me in doing that. Might not be your last semester, but hey, doesn't matter. We got to lay it all out on the field. Amen? So that's all I got for you guys this morning. I love you guys. Hope that was helpful.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Yeah.
Mark.